Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Do you ever criticize people that have it better than you? Do you have the balls to go after the life of your dreams? And this is big. What are the common themes for getting your financial life on track? We're back with part two of our talk with philosopher and entrepreneur Brian Johnson. Listen in as we discuss how you can have the life of your dreams if you've got the balls to own what you want. So let's talk about philosopher's notes. So you're out in Bali mowing through pages and pages of books, and then helping the guy out there that doesn't have time to go through these books. You're like, you're just bottom line in what we need to know in these books, and you're putting your own spin on it. Say more about that.
Yeah. Well, you said it well, and I appreciate it. So the first 3 months out here, I was online maybe half a dozen hours a week, which is a big shift for me, and just read like 20, 25 books. And then what I'm doing now, what I had done before I got here was, I like to say that there are big ideas in every book. So in every book, there's 5, 10, 15, 20 big ideas, sometimes more, never really less. You know, the pages that you underline the heck out of, and you asterisk and you fold the page over, and you want to, if you picked it up later, kind of go back to you and be like, oh yeah, that totally moved me. I call that a big idea.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And what I do is when I read my books, I mark the heck out of them. So I go back through my books and pull out those big ideas, pull out a quote, because not only am I trying to help people who are just super busy get inspired by awesome wisdom and make it practical that can change their life right now, I'm also, been so turned on by the authors that I'm studying. So I'm all about introducing people to authors they may not have been familiar with, or they may have written off, or they might just have never heard of, and, you know, bring them to their awareness. And I'm not trying to replace the book in any way. It's more of a, hey, look, again, very personally, like it started with, I want to learn this stuff. And I figured the best way to learn it wasn't to read it fast and then go to the next book. It was to read it and then pull out the big ideas and then write it and create, you know, a really professional, beautiful 6-page PDF that's polished and tight and fun and inspiring and funny and smart and really practical.
Right.
And as I do that, I'm getting deep into the wisdom, and I comment on it, like you mentioned, where it's like, okay, he's saying this, Joseph Campbell, or Nietzsche is saying this, or Rumi's saying this, or Buddha's saying this, or Krishna's saying this, or Tony Robbins is saying this, or Ken Wilber's saying this. This is how I've applied it to my life. This is how I think you might want to start applying it to your life, and ask yourself this question or build this habit and really take the idea and bring it into our life right now. Like that's where it has value for me, is, you know, at least one aha in the 6-page PDF, and then I record them into 20-minute MP3s. And then what else I'm doing, I didn't know I was going to do this, but I was doing yoga every day at the yoga studio here in Ubud, and just had an idea randomly one day that it'd be really cool to lead discussions on these books, you know, and bring them to life.
Uh-huh.
And you know, got to know the guy who owns the studio, presented the idea to him on a Saturday, and taught my first class on Tuesday, the next Tuesday.
Wow.
And so I've done 40 of them so far over the last few months. I'm doing 3 a week now, and basically packaging the PDF on a book, the MP3, and a 60 to 75, 90 minute live discussion. Usually about 10 to 20 people come to the yoga studio, and we have an awesome discussion about the big ideas and take all kinds of tangents and just awesome, awesome stuff. So I'm packaging that and fired up. So wow. That's the idea. All that for $20. 100 notes on 100 of my favorite books, PDFs, MP3s, and lives. And I was going to charge a couple $100, and I'm like, you know, no, I'm going to do it for $20. And super excited about it. The response has been incredible.
It's a screaming. And, it's a screaming deal, because you don't even get to talk about the time you save me. Like, I'll just speak personally. There's a lot of books that on that list that you've worked through that I've been kind of interested in checking out, but I don't want to invest the time to actually get into like 5 or 6 chapters to yep. make the decision. And so
yes.
a few minutes going through your MP3 and your PDF, and that can inspire me to actually dive in deeper with that book or yep. to move on to the yep. next ones. It's a huge gift. Huge.
Awesome. Yeah, that's exactly my intention. And then ultimately, you know, let's create the greatest year of our lives and create the greatest life we can possibly live. I'm passionate about that, and why I'm doing what I do too. I honestly feel now a certain moral obligation to live my greatest life. So, you know, and to show people what's possible, you know, because I used to look at different people and be like, oh, wow, I'd love to do that. And, you know, I come from a blue collar family. My dad worked in a grocery store for 39 years, you know, and just kind of showing, you know, what do you want? You can do it. You know, I've suffered huge ups and downs in my life, and just getting to a point of truly balancing myself and then showing this is what's possible. And my life isn't for anyone else. This is my life, you know.
Yeah.
But what is it that you feel called to do? And can I inspire you with an idea or two or 100 or 1,000? There are 1,000 big ideas in these 100 books.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all available for free on the website too.
Yeah.
Along with thousands of quotes. So, you know, can I fire somebody up? And that's what drives me.
Yeah.
You know, I got a voicemail from a woman the other day. We get one every like 10 days or so. And I called her back, and first she was stunned that I called her, you know, because she'd heard me hours, you know, on the MP3.
Right,
so
right.
It was a funny experience for her to hear me. And so we kind of laughed about that. And then she told me that she's blind.
Wow.
And that, tears in my eyes, even as I start saying this, she told me that her hands, she has some numbness in her fingers, so she can't read Braille well.
Mm.
And that the Library of Congress produces free audio versions of books, but only on a very limited selection of titles. So she can't get access to self-development books. She's literally doesn't have access to that wisdom.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that with the, I'm getting emotional about it, with the philosopher's notes, all of a sudden her world completely opened up. Uh-huh. Where now she can read this stuff, she can listen to it, she can share it with her sisters and her blind friends, and they can talk about things they couldn't have talked about before. Mm. And I never could have anticipated that would be the byproduct. But ultimately, like, that's what gets me giddy. You know, I get emails from 15-year-olds telling me that they're listening to this stuff. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
15.
At 15. At 15. Where was I? I was not even thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so inspiring to do that. And I think that's what it's all about. Like, we all have a purpose, you know. And when Deepak Chopra asked that question, what would you do if you had all the time and all the money in the world? What he's getting at is his 7th law of spiritual success, which is your dharma. You know, we each have unique gifts we're here to give the world, and, you know, we're here to manifest them.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people we admire are online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they figured out who they are and what they're here to give to the world, and they have the courage, the audacity to dream, and then the courage and the discipline and the impeccability to do what needs to be done.
Right.
You know, it's an equation for internal and external greatness, you know?
It's excellent.
So that's what I'm all
about. It's excellent. And you said something earlier on in the talk where it blends in the practicality. Like, you know, let's bring finances into this. Like, there's not a separation between finances and spirituality, personal development, and everything. And I know that the guy that's out there listening right now is like, well, that's all great, man, but I got to work this job. I'm tired. I got bills to pay. So, like, what if you've got some financial books on the list here? What have you learned? What are some of the big ideas that you see over and over again in those financial books that we can kind of throw out to our listeners?
Yeah. It all comes back to stepping up your game and to trusting yourself and to living your greatest life. I mean, you know, you want to go out, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it outside in. So I can look at it and say, oh, well, okay, you know, the market sucks, therefore my life must suck outside in. Or you can look at it inside out and say, look, you know, what do I want to create in my life? That's what I'm going to create. And I think as new men in this new era, there's just an absolute obligation to have the strength to say, I don't have to go to this job. I don't have to do this or do that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I have to do. You know, and Seneca, the classic philosopher, says, the wise person does nothing reluctantly. Either do it or don't do it. Choose to do it or choose not to do it. But if you're going to do it and then do it right. So it all starts with going inside. And, you know, the greatest books, I highly recommend checking out Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Science of Getting Rich, Spiritual Economics. These are all books that I love that I profile on the Philosopher's Notes. And they're actually all free. I give the first 25 away for free.
Wow. Okay.
So you can get all those ones I just mentioned for free. And read them, you know, read my notes, read the books. What they're going to tell you is don't seek money, seek the consciousness that attracts money. So I'm sitting out here and, you know, creating a new business. I don't care what the market is. What does that have to do with the success or failure of my business? If anything, all it's doing is forcing me to create more value.
Uh-huh.
So I'm absolutely committed to having this be the best $20 anyone could ever spend.
Mm.
Right? So maybe this market doesn't support me at a $200 price point. Cool. Does that mean I'm not going to do it? No, it means I'm going to work harder to figure out how I'm going to create more value.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put 2 years worth of work into a $20 product. Well, I'm not going to skim and say, oh, in a month or two, I can create something and put it out there and market it and we'll see what happens. No, I'm going to work harder. So I think the first step is, you know, Henry Ford, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if you think you have to go to your shitty job and live your life that isn't firing you up, then cool, you need to. Mm. If you think you're capable of more and you think you can do more, then cool, you can. And then do the work. You know?
That's a great challenge there. And I'm getting the point of like, what's your priority? If you're going to like really get clear about what this thing is in your belly or in your chest that wants to emerge, that's your passion, that's your thing in your world. But there's also a piece in there about finding where it's valuable to society too. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, because I'm obviously being aggressive and it's deliberate. This is a new man. You know what I mean? Like, this is what it's all about. Step into it, right?
Right.
If we're not doing that, we're not owning our masculine energy and go listen to some other show, right? So, you know, that's kind of the intentionality I'm bringing to it. But
I love it.
Yeah, so that masculine compassion of, you know, shaking, you know, the man and saying you're capable of more. And if you're going to tell me you're not, then I'm going to shake you again. And if you want to tell me again, then I'll just let you go do your thing,
right,
you know?
Right,
But I think it comes back to the patience as well. I think that it comes to what's the one thing you need to do right now? It's not about, oh, you know, I don't know what I want to do. You know, how can I get paid to do what I love to do? That was one of the most formative questions I've ever asked myself.
Mm.
Now, it took me 8 years to figure out how to get paid to do what I love to do. I wrote down 8 years ago, I want to get paid to read. Literally in 2001, so just over 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I stumbled because I wasn't a strong enough man to actually figure out how to make that happen. I wasn't courageous enough. I wasn't disciplined enough. I wasn't self-aware enough, right? And over time, I've built the habits. I've built the practices. I've refined my vision, but I haven't given up the vision. There are times when I gave up the vision, right? And I suffered.
Yeah.
But I came back to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, dude, the life of living half-ass and not showing up is way more painful than the risk it's going to take to go out and do some stuff.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
You just got to bump your... You get tired of bumping your ass on the floor month to month, and then it's like, okay, what else is there?
Exactly. And you need to get to that point. You know, I mean, this is where the drugs and the alcohol and the TV and the gratuitous sex and the bitching and the stupid conversations, those stuff are all just numbing you, you know, but Abraham Maslow, who came up with the idea of self-actualizing and the hierarchy of needs, he says, what you can be, you must be. Right? There's no getting around that. And it's going to be different for all of us. But that impulse within you that you're trying to numb with your distracting practices, or that we all try to numb with our distracting practices, isn't going away. Right? So it's time to check into that. And then again, to simplify it, what's the one thing? Don't get confused and overwhelmed. Get fired up and say, okay, what's the one thing you need to do? If it's wake up tomorrow at 6 a.m. and work out harder than you've worked out in a while, work out.
Yeah.
You know? You know, be a little nice with yourself if you haven't worked out in a while, so you don't get up the next morning and not be able to get out of bed. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do the 30-day commitment, you know, just start journaling and start asking, what do I want? You know, quit complaining about what's not going right and say, if everything went perfectly, I love the another exercise I do is called the angel's advocate. So we're really good at the devil's advocate. We're really good at finding all the things that can go wrong in a situation.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I start anything, I start from an angel's advocate perspective where if everything went perfectly, what would happen?
Mm.
It's actually hard to do sometimes because you're stuck in your negativity.
Yeah.
But dream about it. You know, what do I want? Like, if everything went great, what would my life look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then meditate on that every day. I journal that every day. What are the things I want to see come to life in my world? And again, it's consistency, 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 consistency.
You inspired me with that practice when we talked a few weeks ago, and you told me about you journaling what you want every day, and I was like, wow, I'm really good at picking out all the things that suck and don't go really well, and I don't want this anymore. And I was like, huh. And so I actually took up the practice, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge, yep, to stay focused on the ball, basically. Like, what is it, yep, that I want? Get clarity and just keep, yep, honing in on that daily. I'll just speak for myself, but I think a lot of guys feel this way too. But for me, it's like, I want to be able to hit the autopilot switch at some point, and that's not going to happen. Like, it really, yeah, is this daily practice of staying in touch with what I want, what I'm passionate about, where I am on this course, what's firing me, yep, up. Like, it's staying on it and not getting hitting the autopilot.
Yeah, then making that autopilot. You know, Robin Sharma says that all the greatness is consistency on the fundamentals. You look at the greatest people in the world, whether it's Tiger Woods or Barack Obama or 50 Cent, whoever you want to look at that you admire as an artist or as a performer, as whatever it is,
right,
it's consistency on the fundamentals. Tiger Woods does not have the dialogue of, I wonder if I want to practice today. I wonder if I feel like getting up and training hard today.
Mm-hmm.
That's autopilot for him. You know, I like to say there's two elements. There's intention and impeccability. And I represent it with my logo on Philosopher's Notes is these two symbols. One is the compass, which represents intention. So you've got to know what you want in your life, you know, and if it's figuring out what you want in your life, then that's your driving intention.
That's it, right?
Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, the number one aspect of creating wealth in your life in every sense, spirituality, financially, relationship, etc., physically, is a burning desire. Mm. You have to have a major definite purpose. And if you don't have a major definite purpose, make finding it your major definite purpose,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's your intention. Now, Tiger Woods' intention, for example, is to be the greatest golfer in the world ever. That's a really clear intention that hasn't wavered for him in decades. Michael Phelps, is that his name? Michael,
yep,
Phelps?
Yep.
I haven't read the news in 175 days, other than it's from ESPN. So.
He's kind of, I'll let you in on a secret. He's kind of a badass swimmer. So I'll.
I've heard. I check out ESPN often enough to know he won 8 gold medals. Now, if you've heard the story that I heard about him, he has a piece of paper he wrote of what he was going to do that he reads every morning. His intention is really clear. Mm. Now, then he's also really impeccable. So when you have clear intentionality, you need to match that with impeccability, which I represent. I have a tattoo on my right wrist, actually, which is the Sanskrit symbol for the third chakra, which is in Chinese philosophy, your Dan Tien. It's the center of your universe. It's where your self-mastery, your discipline, your authenticity, your personal power comes from. So the idea is you have to have the intentionality and you have to have the impeccability. Phelps, Barack Obama, Tiger Woods, 50 Cent, whoever you want to throw in, Oprah, these guys work harder. These women work harder than anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
And they're doing so in integrity with what they want. When you do that, you combine intention and impeccability, it's greatness. If you do that consistently and you have the audacity to dream what you really want. Most people don't have the courage to say what they really want.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because then we kind of have an obligation to go after it at that point. It's like, otherwise it's like we kind of want to sit back and let the universe maybe it'll happen, you know, but we're not responsible for it.
Worse, we bitch.
Right.
What we really do is we bitch, and then we bring down the people that we admire, right? Mm. Another one of my friends, a guy named Yasuhiko Kimura, who's a Buddhist monk, business consultant now, he says there's a difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is when you see something that someone else has and you want it, and you think you can have it. You're just jealous of them,
uh-huh,
right? Envy is you see something that someone else has, and you don't think you could ever have it.
Mm.
That's envy. Now, what happens when you envy is you make it wrong that the other person has it. So if someone has a Ferrari and you really want a Ferrari, you'd like to have a Ferrari,
mm-hmm,
but you don't think you can ever have it, you make them wrong for having it.
Got it.
They must be greedy. They must have done something. They must not be a good husband.
Yeah.
I'm a better husband.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and it's Nietzsche. Nietzsche says the higher you fly, the smaller you look to those on the ground.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Coelho says, you know, those who actually go out and live their dreams make cowards of the rest of us,
mm,
right? And so this idea of like seeing the people we admire, never criticizing, never complaining, never blaming, never using our energy negatively. That's a big part of my practice right now too, is I have this huge ritual of removing all negative, useless talk, all criticism, all blame, all gossip, all complaining, literally just rewiring my brain so I don't go down that pattern.
Yeah.
Huge. It's T. Harv Eker in Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. It's one of his biggest things, is never criticize again. Anytime you ever criticize anything or anyone, you're giving your power away.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you're literally slitting your throat, slitting your financial throat, because you're basically saying you're weak, you're a victim. So you need to criticize rather than creating the environment that you want.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I want to reframe my earlier statement then. I'm fucking inspired to be in Bali. That's what I'm going to follow up with there.
There we go. I took it as a playful. I knew where we were. It's all good.
All right. Well, there's some great stuff in here. Let's bottom line. Like, what's the one thing a guy can do today? We talked about tons of stuff, but maybe what's the one thing, let's bottom line it for the guy out there. What's the one thing he can do today that's really going to start making a big impact in his life?
Yeah. So we've hit it. I mean, right now in this conversation, there's been some stuff that you probably found really cool, some stuff that you're like, dude, this guy's an idiot, or whatever. There's been a full spectrum. But my hunch is that I've said a few times, what's the one thing you need to start doing in your life, and what's the one thing you need to stop doing in your life? Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, and then get really clear on it, and then commit to building the habit. So that'd be my absolute bottom line thing. And then make a habit of that. Make a habit of purifying yourself and getting to a point where you build the strength by doing the one thing really well consistently. And then you consistently do that. You consistently ask yourself, what's the one thing I need to do today, this month, this year to take the next step in my life? And then do that. And it will change from, goal-oriented stuff to, God, I got to be more compassionate with myself.
Mm.
You know, and I've got to spend more time with my kids, or I've got to work less, or I've got to work more. There's no rule. But you always know the answer, I think, when we ask that question. So that'd be my number one,
Yeah, I love it. Check in, really feel into it. And what's the thing you're really inspired? Not a should, not some kind of cultural thing, but what's the one thing you really want to do? I love that. And how do we find out more about Philosopher's Notes?
Yeah, so check it out at philosophersnotes.com. It's plural, philosophersnotes.com. And like I said, the 25 first ones I did are free, PDF and MP3, and then the 100 PDFs, MP3s, and the live discussions for $20. So my commitment is $10 of value for every $1 you spend, and greatest deal of 2009. And reports have been that it is, so I'd love to share more.
It's great. I give it that thumbs up too. It definitely is. It's awesome.
Right on. Cool, man. Thanks.
All right, Brian. Well, you are certifiably a badass. Thanks so much for being on The New Man. I hope to have you back and check in wherever your adventure takes you next.
Look forward. Keep up the great work, man.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Be sure to visit us online at thenewmanpodcast.com and join the growing community of listeners on the site. Thank you for listening.